Today on Rockin' the Suburbs...
I'll take Grammar Rocks for 800, Alex.
And it's the Daily Double.
I'm going all in.
This band's name is a pronoun.
What is the who?
So, Patrick, remember when we went to Jam and Java?
Yeah, that was fun.
It's a good time, right?
Yeah, that was really fun. I don't know if we've ever been part of an event, Jim, where people had to buy admission tickets and come in and see our show. That was really a kind of a milestone, and it was a lot of fun. I felt like it went great, and thanks to the people at Jam and Java for inviting us, and you know, it was really a good time.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
This show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And yesterday, if you heard that episode, if you didn't, go back and listen to that. But you would hear the first part of our live event talking about The Who.
Right.
Counting down their great songs. As you mentioned, we were on stage at the Jam and Java, and there was a pretty good crowd there, and it was a lot of fun. It was kind of weird, I think, for us at first, because we're not used to being... on stage. You know, we're used to talking about people who are on stage. We're not used to being on stage.
No.
And it's like you have these lights and everything, and you can't really see what's happening out there. Do you feel kind of disconnected? And
I was far apart from you, Jim. I don't like being that far away from you.
There was that too. So, but I think it all went really well. We had a slideshow that, you know, for the people who were there,
we
they
did.
Could follow along.
Uh-huh. It was in standard definition, which I liked. It was fine. That was basically the era of The Who. So
that's
we
right.
went
Makes
period.
Yeah. That's right. And it was a great time. It was really,
really,
really
fun. Was
fun. So now we are going to continue with this episode, counting down the top 15. Let me see, 15, 14. We're at number 12.
Right.
Right? Is that where we are?
That's where we are.
So you're going to hear 12, 11, and 10 based on the listener poll.
Mm-hmm.
And also, before you hear that, you're going to hear some trivia.
Yes.
We did some Who trivia.
This was great.
With people who came up on stage and got to play along, right?
It was excellent.
So let's get to that now. All right. So let's play a little trivia. You guys want to play some trivia? All right, did everybody get in on the plastic bag of trivia here? I'm going to pull out, we're going to have three, I think we have enough here. Yeah, we're going to have three contestants per each trivia game, all right?
Three contestants.
Here's your.
And I'm going to swing the microphone around while you're doing that. No, I'm not.
I'm trying to mix these up good.
Okay.
This has to be on the up and up. We have a lawyer in the room, so.
That's right.
Got to be careful here. All right. Tim Hoffman is contestant number one. You can just come around this way and come on up to the stage. All right. Contestant number two is...
Mike Bloomberg. No, he dropped out. Sorry. Thank you.
Now, somebody wrote down Pete Townsend. So if he's here...
Kevin Goff, probably. Had to be Kevin Goff.
All right.
Kevin Goff saw an opening.
If he's here, then we don't need to be up here, really. Mike Snyder. How about Mike Snyder?
Now, I'll tell you guys, while I was preparing for the show today, Jim was texting me and saying, like, hey, do you have that cable to hook up? Do we have the PowerPoint all together? I was painting this homemade Who hat. That's what I was doing. I didn't have time to quite finish it. Yeah. But
our third contestant is Steve Pinball Wizard Solomon.
All right. He's deaf, dumb, and blind?
Is he deaf, dumb, and blind?
I hope not. That's going to make it challenging for Steve to win.
All right, gentlemen.
I'm just going to be Vanna White here and hold the microphone.
Wait.
Because it was Kevin Goff.
Wait, you didn't write your name down. Sorry. Kevin, we have a lawyer present. You didn't follow the rules.
We'll have Pete Townsend in on the next quiz round.
Yeah, you can get in on the next one, all right?
That's right.
All right.
Kevin, I told you it was him.
Kevin is in on the next one. He wrote Pete Townsend like a joker.
Right.
You know.
Anyway. Now, how does this work, Jim?
All right. Oh, wait. Okay. So here's how this works. This is called Name the Song. You're each going to take turns. We're going to do three rounds.
I will read you song lyrics. You will identify the song, okay? Now, if you can name the song outright without any help, you'll get 2 points, all right? If you don't know immediately the name of the song and you'd rather have multiple choice, we'll give you that option. Then you'll get 1 point if you get that right, okay? Does that make sense? And then if there are ties, we don't know what we're going to do. So that's... we have some... I got to make notes here. All right. So we have... Who do we have here? We have Mike.
Mike, Tim.
Tim.
And Steve.
And Steve. All right. So since Tim was the first name I pulled out of the bag...
And he's closest to me.
You can choose question 1, 2, or 3.
2.
He chooses question
2.
All right. I'm going to read you some lyrics. Are you ready? I want to play cricket on the green, ride my bike across the street, cut myself and see my blood. I want to come home all covered in mud.
I'm a boy.
Really? You look like a man.
Correct.
So Tim gets 2 points. All right. The next name was Mike. Mike, would you like question 1 or 3?
1.
All right. Question 1. Nothing gets in my way, not even locked doors. Now you can have the multiple choice if you want. Nothing gets in my way, not even locked doors.
I'll do multiple choice.
He wants the multiple choice.
Choice.
Okay. All right. It's one of these three songs. It's either Anyway, Anyhow, Anywhere, Magic Bus, or Won't Get Fooled Again.
I'm going to do bad here. 1.
Anyway, Anyhow, Anywhere? You're correct.
Well done, Mike. Now the pressure's on Steve.
Do I get a choice of what question?
No, nope, you're left with number 3. All right.
He is a lawyer.
This is Steve, Pinball Wizard. Here are your lyrics. I asked Bobby Dylan. I asked the Beatles. I asked Timothy Leary, but he couldn't help
the
me
seeker.
Either. Wow, he was right in on that.
Ringing in early. Well done, Steve.
All right.
You're good on the buzzer.
So at the end of round 1, our scores are Tim has 2, Mike has 1, and Steve has 2. All right. Okay, so Tim, since you picked first last time, Mike, you can pick first this time. 1, 2, or 3? All right. He picks 1. My work is done now, look at him. He's never been more alive. His head, it shakes. His fingers clutch. Watch his body writhe. The Acid Queen is correct.
Well done, Mike.
2 points to Mike.
I didn't know that.
So now, Steve, you get to pick question 2 or 3. Number 3. We were the first band to vomit at the bar and find the distance to the stage too far.
I'll take the hint. I don't recognize.
You don't. You want the multiple choice?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Let me repeat that. We were the first band to vomit at the bar and find the distance to the stage too far. It's one of these three. Another Tricky Day, Long Live Rock, or Who Are You?
Long Live Rock.
Very good.
Well done, Steve.
Okay. That leaves Tim with these lyrics. I don't care about pollution. I'm an air-conditioned gypsy.
Going mobile.
Very good.
Well done, Steve. Now, would anyone like to place a wager on the winner? Because I can give you some odds.
All right. At the end of round 2, we have Tim with 4 points, Mike with 3, and Steve with 3.
Barn burner.
All right. The fabulous prizes up here, too.
Yeah, they are.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so Steve, you get to pick 1, 2, or 3. Steve picks number 1. They progressively get harder, at least in my mind. I don't know if that's true. Number 1. She's been dead since 1929. Oh, how I cried that night. Yeah.
Pictures of Lily.
Very good.
Well done, Steve. Really good. Jim, what if we have a tie?
I don't know. All right,
this is how prepared we are.
Tim, would you like to question 2 or 3?
2.
All right. I felt like a pickled priest who was being flambéed. We've all been there, right? I felt like a pickled priest who was being flambéed. Please, no help from the audience.
Give me multiple choice, please.
The multiple choice is Athena, Behind Blue Eyes, However Much I Booze.
Oh, However Much I Booze.
No, that's not the answer.
It's the only one I've gotten right.
That was a hard one.
All right, so that leaves us with Mike, right? Okay. All right, the sky is glass, but the sea is brown, and everyone is upside down.
That's a Beatles song.
The sky is glass, but the sea is brown, and everyone is upside down. He wants the multiple choice. It is one of these three: Amazing Journey, Armenia City in the Sky, or Shaken All Over.
The first song.
Amazing Journey? Is that your final answer? Sorry. It's Armenia in the City in the Sky.
Who sell out?
Steve is your winner.
All right, Steve. He's the pinball wizard.
The guy who was complaining earlier.
That was fun. Oh, Steve, what do you win? Look at this. We actually have a copy of Who Are You? The Life of Pete Townsend that was donated by the author. It's a lovely book. There's a lot of pages in that. That's a lot of fun.
So that Pete Townsend book Good called job, Who Steve. Are You? The Life of Pete Townsend is written by our friend Mark Wilkerson.
Yeah, Mark was kind enough to donate a couple copies for
donate
us.
Donate a couple copies
great.
Published by Omnibus Press. So we want to thank them for that.
Yep.
And then we do have consolation prizes.
Consolation prizes.
So, one of you gets a magazine, and one of you gets a
CD
Pete Townsend
copy.
Solo CD.
All right. That was fun. Thanks, guys. All right. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, but they're all winners, all right? They're all winners.
Yeah, they're all winners.
Everyone's a winner.
On Suburbs Pod.
That's right. Let's get back to the countdown. Where are we here? Da, 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 da.
Number 12.
Number 12.
I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He stands like a statue, becomes part of the machine. Feeling all the bumpers, always plays clean. The digit counts as ball. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He's a pinball wizard. There has to be a twist. A pinball wizard's got such a surprise.
Pinball wizard.
Pinball wizard.
Yeah, we just had the pinball wizard on
stage.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Right here.
Yeah.
He was a trivia wizard.
Yeah,
wasn't
he was, man.
Yes. What do you know about this song, Patrick?
Well, Jim, I'll tell you what I've learned about this song that was really interesting. And before I say that, I just want to preface the fact that for you Who fans out there, I hope you guys have learned or understand something that I didn't really understand until. You know, I started reading about the band, which was how important their managers, Chris Stamp and Kit Lambert, were. They were a pair of filmmakers who came to, you know, in the early 60s, hey, you know, it's swinging London, it's mod, like everything's happening. We'll manage a rock band, that'll be pretty easy. You know, we'll make movies with them and all that stuff. And Kit Lambert ended up being very influential to Pete Townsend because he drove Townsend to do his best work. And he was really the driving force behind Tommy. He loved the idea of an opera. His father was involved in the opera. He was a composer. He always wanted to make a rock opera to sort of prove to his dad and prove to himself that it could be high art. And Townsend worked very hard on this opera, and they had most of it done. And the way I understand it was that Townsend was playing what had been finished to a journalist who I believe was Nick Cohn, who worked for the NME and some of those papers. And basically, he played him the album, and Nick Cohn said, yeah, it's pretty good, but you know, it needs a single. Like, it needs a hook. Like, you need a hit here. And they were both obsessed with pinball. They would run around Soho and the West End and London playing pinball together in 1969. So Townsend just went home and said, oh, yeah, I'll write this song about a pinball wizard. And then suddenly
it changed the entire opera. He made him into a pinball star. And the opening riff on acoustic guitar is totally amazing. I think that's one of the coolest things about Tommy is the way, you know, The Who, a hard rock band, you think of loud noises and Rickenbackers. He blended acoustic guitar on this record so beautifully.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting for this reason. If you look at a lot of The Who's catalog, there's a lot of songs about love. Mm-hmm. There's a fair number of songs about drugs.
Yeah.
And there's one song about pinball.
That's right. Just the one.
Amusements, right? So
how many songs in the history of rock music are there about pinball? Yeah. Not very many.
And, you know, yet it still endures. People voted for it. If I wrote a song today about Fortnite, I'm not sure 50 years from now people would care, right?
No, that's right.
So there's that. And by the way, again, open mic if anybody wants to talk about pinball. Do we have pinball fans in the crowd here?
Pinball
fans. You know, there used to be four major manufacturers of pinball in the United States, and now we're down to one. Hmm.
I did not know that.
And yet the song endures. That's what I was going to say.
Do the Foo Fighters have a pinball machine? Because all the great bands used to have a pinball machine.
I know.
Yeah, I wonder if they do. They're not a real good rock band unless they have a pinball machine. Kiss has one. I played it. You know, they have one at Merriweather Post. Yeah, so you can play it up there.
Kevin asks, how is this not in the top 10? Well, you're going to see.
That's a good question.
Hang on one second. So, Kevin, the way this works is we count down 15, and one by one they will be revealed, and you'll see which ones are in the top 10, right? All right.
Chief.
Okay, so anyone, any thoughts about Tommy, Pinball Wizard? Just how bizarre the whole rock opera is that the protagonist is a pinball wizard. Any of that? No. Okay.
Okay.
Fine.
No problem.
We'll just move on then.
I know you deceive me. Now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Oh yeah. If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile because all the while I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles and miles.
All right, I Can See for Miles from Who Sell Out, 1967. This is one of my personal favorite Who songs, although I will say I have a difficult relationship with it a little bit. I love it for the music. I love just, like, sonically, I think it's one of their best studio works. It just sounds amazing. It is different from, I think, a lot of other songs at the time. It sort of takes you on this, it kind of has this soaring sort of structure to it. It gets them away already pretty early in their career from that kind of maximum R&B kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a true rock song. I love that kind of single note guitar riff, if you want to call it that. I don't know what you call it, but it's just beautiful in its simplicity. Everything's great. I will say, let me ask, we have some women here in the audience here. I want to ask you guys how you feel about this a little bit thematically. So the song is about jealousy, and it's the idea that, you know, when I'm away, I can see for miles. I can see what you're doing. But these are rock stars. What were they doing?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Wasn't a two-way street.
Right. But. All right, I don't know where that's going.
Well, That's dangerous ground
to tread
on. I'm woke,
all right? That's what I'm trying to get. The bottom line is I'm woke. All right, let's go. That's what I was trying to go for. Yeah.
You got it.
All right.
I will say this. I think the sonic reasons you talk about, Jim, are amazing. But, man, you know, the Who sell out, right? What an incredible record. Like, in 1967, think about this. You know, it was getting ready to be the Summer of Love. Sgt. Pepper was the biggest record on the planet. Everybody was dressing in, you know, tie-dye tops and bottoms. Even the Who were kind of wearing that at times, and everything was frilly and powerful and psychedelic, and everybody was dropping acid left and right, and man, that sounds pretty good. Now, but the Who, what did they decide to do? They decided to write a paean to pirate radio, to that pop era, that disposable pop era where everything was, you know, commercial and snappy and zippy and bright, and you know, everything was being packaged and sold to you. You know, these ships that anchored off the coast of England, you know, just out into international waters and broadcast in to, you know, take on the auntie BBC, which is really the only station. They decided to use some actual commercials. You know, they decided to make it really funny. There's a song called Odorono where a great singer loses her big chance because she didn't use Odorono and her underarm smell when the big record executive comes back, and Tattoo and Heinz Baked Beans. One of the funniest moments in the Who's catalog, folks, of all time, one of the funniest things is the song Heinz Baked Beans, where they do all the little breaks and different members of the Who ask what's for tea. And the first one where Keith Moon says, "What's for tea, Matt?" is really funny. Like, I laugh out loud. But it's perfect, Jim. It's a perfect experiment. It does break down on the second side. They didn't pull it off on the second side, but the first side is perfect. And it culminates with I Can See for Miles. You know, at the end, last song on side one, another one of my theories, great hidden songs are always the last song on side one. That's like where your hidden gem is. But this one, man, with that long ringing chord like you talked about, it's just perfect. It really, if the album was over after one side, it was an EP, it would have been perfect.
All right.
What's for tea, ma'am?
Again, I want to mention, if you'd like to come up to the microphone, talk about any of these songs.
Please do.
Please save us. All right.
Otherwise, he'll keep talking.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Oh, we have somebody. I'm sorry.
Oh, sweet.
Please state your name, sir.
Rob Gates.
Hello, Rob.
Rob Gates.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So this song is my parents' least favorite song because it is the one that I rocked the house with quite often when I was in high school. But and Patrick alluded this a little bit, 1967, song definitely has some of that 1967 Beatles influence to it in the melody. And yep. Sort of before the Who sort of broke out into their own sound, which became very distinct. But in this one, you can still sort of hear, you know, that late 60s British invasion sound to the song.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Totally a great point, yeah. And it really was, I think, this album that pushed them to try to, as Rob said, get that distinctive sound and take it, you know, farther. And I think this is a big breakthrough for Townsend in his writing, too. He suddenly was writing, like you talked about, Jim, something very honest and sort of
right.
Maybe not so good.
All right, step on up. We have the Pinball Wizard.
Hi, Steve Solomon, Pinball Wizard, the winner of Trivia Round 1.
Yes, Steve.
It's interesting that I Can See for Miles, which people think of as their favorite Who song, was, according to Pete Townsend, one of the biggest disappointments of his career, because when he wrote the song, he thought it was brilliant. He thought, I had finally gotten the song that's going to catapult the Who to actual financial success, which didn't occur, of course, until I think 2 years later or so when Tommy was released. And the record was successful by most people's standards. I think it charted, but it never became the big number one hit that he expected it to be. And according to him, it crushed him. So just an interesting fact about the song. Thank you.
Yeah, good point.
Very cool. Right.
Yeah, and just to add on what Pete Townsend said. Pinball Wizard said.
Yes.
So I think Pete felt like he had really written the best song of his life with I Can't See for Miles, I Can See for Miles. And when it only, I think, reached maybe number 8 in Britain. He said, I spat on the record buying public. And I think what he was getting at is I can't do any more. But I think if that failure wouldn't have occurred, it may not have laid the groundwork for Tommy.
Interesting.
Because now he was ready to move on to just these, you know, power pop bliss singles into something more expansive and dynamic.
Yep.
That's
right.
A good point.
Yep. Yep.
All good observations.
I know.
The listeners are smarter than we are, Jim.
Can I just ask, Kevin, is this in your top 10? Oh, he says no. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So now we're entering the top 10.
We're entering the top 10.
Again, this is how it works.
Yeah. Ready? We're getting there, folks.
All right, so
yeah.
Oh wow, we have applause.
Yeah, man.
Now. Yeah,
that feels good.
Go for it. All right, so this is worthy of top 10 according to Kevin Spain. Yeah, he says yes. Okay, so somebody mentioned, you know, people mentioned British Invasion earlier. This is British Invasion, right? This was their first single. It has that classic British Invasion riff rock kind of sound to it, right?
Yep, totally. And pretty good first single. You know, like coming out of the gate, that's pretty solid. I will say this, for those of you into the esoterica of The Who, there was always a rumor, like the people I hung out with and like were super obsessed with music and geeky, and like, oh, Townsend didn't play on that song. That's Jimmy Page playing the lead guitar and doing all the solos.
Did you guys know that?
That is not true. No. That is not true.
Jimmy Page played rhythm guitar on the session.
He did play rhythm guitar. Yeah, he did. He played 12-string acoustic guitar as a rhythm guitar. His contribution, he did play a lead guitar, and Jimmy Page has said this himself, but his version was not used. So that is Townsend on all the electric guitars. So it's an interesting little fact. But Jimmy Page at the time was one of the hottest studio musicians in Britain. One reason was because he had the best pedals. Nobody had as good of pedals as Jimmy Page. Like, he would come in and hook up his pedals, and people were like, wow, there's no way I can get that sound. And he turned out to be a pretty good guitar player, too. But, yeah, it's, you know, another one of those songs. I mean, I don't know how old Townsend was when he wrote this song, but it works on a couple of different levels again, you know, and it's simplicity itself. I remember when I was in high school, you know, a bunch of guys got up at the George C. Marshall High School talent show and played this, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, like that you could actually play that, you know, but it's really like three or four chords, but brilliantly used. So I can't explain exactly what it is I love about that song. Thank you.
All right.
All right. So
Kevin Spain is at the mic right now.
Kevin's going to take it.
Jim shamed me into coming up here. So
yes.
And I'm in the pit over there. I couldn't actually get out. You're in the groupie pit.
Yeah.
All right. So Jimmy Page, you're talking about this. I want to go back to Pinball Wizard for a second.
Okay.
I'm going to refer back to the Led Zeppelin episode you guys did. I know some people who were there. And Stairway to Heaven was in the top 10. And we talked about how that was the song everybody's tired of, but it was one of their great songs. That, to me, is Pinball Wizard with these guys.
Okay.
Everybody knows that song, if you're a Who fan, or if you're not a Who fan. Yep. You know Pinball Wizard. So that's why I was complaining about it not being in the top 10.
Okay.
Going back to the voting and everything. Anyway, this is a great song. I can't explain it's a great song. So, you know, it should be there. It's a great song. Sorry, had to come up.
That's all right. No,
that's beautiful. That's
what we're here for. Yeah. Let it out, Kevin. Let it out.
So very eloquent on my part, yes.
So he had to explain that.
Yep.
Right. So getting back to that. All right. So.
Wait, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have another. Go ahead. Mike Snyder, everyone.
So yeah, I will say that this song is my number one song on my list that I submitted. I don't have any extra facts to add you, but I will tell you why I like it and why I love it. You know, you think about songs that the Beatles, you know, put out, their some of their first 10, 15 singles. Those, you know, I can bear, you know, I listen to on the radio. But this song comes alive when it's on my radio. It is, it's clean and short and concise, but it has enough grunge, but it also has almost unbridled energy in the song, but it's bridled just enough to be what it is. And that's why I put it as my number one song. And what's interesting is a lot of those first songs were at the top of my list. For some, I don't know why. I mean, when I went, I'm sure like a lot of you, I went back and listened to these songs, you know, over the last weeks. And, you know, there's songs from the 70s that I love. But these early songs, I just couldn't displace them.
Yep.
That's it.
All right. Thank
you. Well said, Mike. Yeah. Very well said.
You know, another thing that's great about it, it's just sort of about like young love and confusion and all of that. And it's just very relatable, I think, to a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
I was always confused.
Right. Totally. I think at one point Townsend said that he wrote this song because he took too many Dexatrine tablets, too much speed, and couldn't tell his girlfriend how he felt.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're at the point in the countdown we got into a little bit of the older Who music, the early stuff, right?
Which is really interesting. And I want to say at this point, Jim, thank you to everyone who voted in this poll, because this really was the engine that drove our entire live show. Without your votes, we got a lot of votes. We got many different songs, over 70 songs, I think, that were voted for. You probably heard that at the beginning. But thank you to everyone who took the time to fill out a top 10, because we basically relied on the community to give us the material we needed to keep it going.
I think you will hear over the course of this week that there's some things you would expect and maybe a few things you would not expect,
which
is all you can really ask for from a poll like this, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. We heard from many people who were like, my top 10 didn't look like that.
That's or, right.
You know, this certain song didn't get in there. So
that's right. As you, I think, heard already, Kevin Spain was quite upset about one of his favorite songs not getting in the top 10.
He wasn't having it.
Even though he got to hear it and it was on this list,
you had to still keep him in line the entire night.
That's right. All right, let's get out of here. Let's go on to tomorrow where we're going to really go further, deeper into the top 10 and have some other surprises here. So stick with us on this live event week gala. What do you want to call a celebration?
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rock of the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. There used to be four major manufacturers of pinball in the United States, and now we're down to one.
I did not know that.